and that half of the people that come to the park are from outside of the community.
Park that does not have a full service park. More than half of the people who sell drugs come from outside the community. About 70% of the people who buy drugs come from outside the community. A challenging social situation. There is an element of criminality or violence.
So far, the city has invested in developing low-income neighborhoods like Franklin Avenue and Phillips and part of the Lake Street Corridor. Councilmember Samuel says that Jordan and the north side of Minneapolis in general has been ignored.
The city does not administer the parks. The park board administers the park system. And it just doesn't take much to observe that some communities get more than others. It's very historical stuff, you know, who lives where and who gets what.
Mayor Ryback just came out with a proposed budget for the city in 2005. It's hard to tell right now how much funding the park board would get if the budget goes the way it has the last couple of years. Most likely, Jordan Park will probably get less funding than ever. For KFAI, this is Perkina Halbert.
That's all for this week's edition of Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots. Our reporters included Kiana Halbert, Perkina Halbert, and Alexis Champion, who participated in KFAI's News Initiative program. The Youth News Initiative was made possible by grants from the Justice Foundation and the Gannett Care 11 Foundation. Libby Reinisch is a graduate of KGMU's Youth Radio program in Boulder, Colorado. She's attending Hampshire College. Sprouts Radio comes to you with the distribution help of the Pacifica Network. And to check out our past shows or to see what's scheduled in the weeks to come, check us out online at www.sproutsradio.org. Steve Zelaznik is our web guru, Ursula Rudenberg is the show's coordinator, and this week, Ann Alquist is our producer. From KFAI Studios on the west bank of the Mississippi River, I'm William O'Brien.
How are you doing out there?
Okay, we're just starting rehearsals.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Good, I won't keep you from that long. I'm doing a piece for Alternet, and the focus of it is bands and musicians that are working to get young folks more involved politically and especially getting them registered to vote and participating in voting.
Cool.
What can you tell me about what you are doing and what ministry is doing in that realm?
Well, the first thing we're doing is we're making sure that as we tour towards the end of the summer here coming up, that we have a member of punkvoter.com traveling with the band that sets up voter registration outside of each and every venue that we play. After sound check, I'll be working the booth myself personally in between sound check and the show to make sure it's kind of devious, but I'll trade my autograph for their autograph on a voter registration. So that's a start, not to mention doing, you know, interviews as I'm doing with you and just kind of stay on top of it and be politically aware.
Nice. What other organizations are you working with, if you are at all, besides Punk Voter?
Working with Howie Klein over at People for the American Way, donating lyrics and you know, signed autographs, paraphernalia, and things to so that they can keep afloat, and then punkvoter.com, and that's it right now.
Yeah, good. Why do you think that young folks maybe have not been participating in elections in recent years?
Well, I think they're disillusioned, not only with Bush stealing the last election, but because policy never seems to really include the demographic of young people, even though they're the ones with the most to gain or lose since they have the most to live.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely understand that, but the point is that you have to coalesce as a voting bloc to make sure that your agenda or interests are secured.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that that's happening?
I think the one good thing the Bush administration has done is that it's coalesced the young people, binded them together out of just sheer anger. And, yeah, I do see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
He's still polarizing with this administration, so.
Mm-hmm. And what in particular do you think is important about this election, that things change through voting.
I think we really need to get rid of the people that have been running Washington for many, many years, which is basically the energy industry and their special interests. I mean, I know voting for Kerry or something is just a different set of special interests, but at least we need some new ones in there. I mean, these guys have just gotten so greedy and so out of control that it's just straight blood for profit at this point, and they don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
So I think it's a very dangerous world, and I think they've pissed off enough of the world that it has become very dangerous again. I mean, almost like world war.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of young people are afraid that there could be a world war, or that war is getting more prevalent?
No, I mean, there's a climate of fear, of course, with the whole terrorist threat. There's a terrorist under every rock, that kind of shit. But I don't think people are seeing it as a world war, even though it really is, because we polarize the whole world through our exploitation of natural resources and finance markets and everything else. So.
Mm-hmm. Al, when you're on stage, when you perform, do you address these things directly? How do you, and if so, how do you talk to the audience?
Through the music. I don't have time. I mean, our stuff's thrash and in your face, and I'm not going to sit there and do political speeches and get on a soapbox. I think if the kids want to read the lyrics that I provide on the CD, they can see what it's about, and, we'll hit them on a visceral level as opposed to just, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So it's in your music.
I mean, they're there to see music, not to hear me, go see a campaign speech from Kerry,
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to fucking see that with me, so.
Yeah. Do you want to see Kerry as president?
I'd rather see the ashtray in front of me as president rather than what we have right now. So, yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Do I want him specifically at this point? Look, like I said, the people that are behind the Bush campaign, the Cheneys, the Wolfowitz, the Rumsfelds, the Bechtels, the Halliburtons, the Exxons, the Enrons, those are the people we really have to get rid of.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay,
thank
you.
That's great. Enjoy yourself.
All right,
bye.
Yep.
And that's the introduction to Bathroom Spears Broadsides Tonight. I'm Robert Norris. We're a bit late in getting into it. I'm sorry about that. Don't know if it's the traffic or the shrinking weather time or who knows what. But anyway, I'm here, and you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. And if you want to come on and join the chat room, it's pagesincolor.com, pagesincolor.com. If you want to call in, it's 427-3772. We talk about civil rights for the poor here. And, in fact, civil rights for anybody. We're kind of poor in civil rights these days, and that's what we're trying to restore, and that's what this show is mostly about. We range from issues as far afield as Iraq to, of course, the ever-present Every Night After 11 sleeping ban law in Santa Cruz, which we will be challenging in federal court as we progress here. It's no longer just a fantasy, a myth, or a hope. We are, in fact, now funded and committed to doing so and simply rounding up the requisite cases. And in case you yourself have been arrested under the Santa Cruz Municipal Code that makes sleeping an essential human function illegal after 11 o'clock at night anywhere on public property and on a substantial amount of private property as well, under Municipal Code 6.36.010, please get in touch by either calling the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or you can call the studio line and talk about your experience while we're on the air tonight, 427-FRSC, 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Or you can come down to the Huff table, which is currently set up at Pacific Avenue in front of Borders, Pacific and Soquel. And you can fill out a form, show us your citation, or just tell us what you remember about your citation. Or even if you haven't been cited, if you've been harassed, if you've been told by police to move on, particularly in the spring, summer, and fall months when shelter floor space amounts to space for 40 people out of a homeless population of, what, 1,500 to 2,000 in the city limits alone. So it's a rather... that's a rather obscene situation, actually, if you want to look at it closely. Anyway, the sleeping ban is going to be going to federal court unless the attorneys involved die or someone robs the bank. It has required some fundraising, but that's where we're heading. So if you've got a sleeping ban ticket, a ticket for camping, a ticket for blanket ban, or indeed if you've been harassed because of your homeless status by the Santa Cruz Police Department, please let us know at the Huff table. Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is again working on a lawsuit. Not to go to the local play ball with City Hall judges that have been upholding the sleeping ban and allowing these kinds of obscene fines and community slavery sentences to proliferate, community slavery, by which I mean what they call community service, the requirement that if you fall asleep, somehow they can make you do 10 hours of community service, or if you have the temerity to put up a tent in the rain and camp, then you could get to do 40 or more hours of community service after, of course, paying $20, $25 for the privilege of doing community service with the community service group Community Options, which has the monopoly on community service operations and sends you to the appropriate nonprofit. The idea that you subject yourself to a slavery condition because you have fallen asleep in Santa Cruz, of course, is intolerable, I think, for a lot of people. And just like with the war in Iraq and the occupation of Iraq, most of us don't know what to do to fight that. A lot of us don't know what to do to fight the sleeping ban. And the latest wrinkle on that we're working on, and the latest initiative, if you will, is to take the law to federal court, where it has never gone before. We've had sleeping ban cases in the past where we've taken them to local courts and then to higher courts, and there have been other cases in other cities where camping ordinances, such as Santa Ana's camping ordinance, was taken to the state Supreme Court. But that was through the state courts. There's never been in California, to my knowledge, a clear case of a federal court challenge of a sleeping ordinance in a California city. And Santa Cruz's ordinance is particularly vulnerable because it is very irrational. There is, for example, we not only have a sleeping ban ordinance, but the next ordinance, 6.36010B, criminalizes blankets. You can't cover up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night, even if you're not sleeping, even if you're not at a campsite, even if you're walking around. That's illegal. Hence, this kind of essentially blank check for persecution of homeless people given the police department by our progressive city council, endorsed by Mayor Scott Kennedy and soon-to-be Mayor Michael Rotkin, has got to be challenged. And the community out there, if you're in the community and if you have a sleeping ticket, please bring it forward. Even if it's already been resolved, we want to hear about it to document that it happened. Because this is the kind of information we want to bring to federal court as we look for an injunction against this practice. And again, the number to call if you want to talk about it on the air is 427-3772. The number to call if you want to report it but not talk about it on the air at this point is 423-4833, 423-4833, or HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And you can also hear this show in case you didn't know. Maybe you're at home today, warmly nestled up in front of your radio or riding along in your car or perhaps on your bike with a radio attached or walking down with some earphones around town, checking it out. But there's also a radio sitting on the HUF table in front of Borders Bookstore, and you can hear us there. And you can also call into the show there usually. We often have a cop watcher there, Cop Watch Tom, who still interested in having people volunteer to assist in keeping an eye on the Santa Cruz Police Department and what they're doing downtown. And he shares table space with HUF, and he has, I believe, a cellular phone, which he will let you use if you've got anything to report. Get the HUF table in front of Borders Bookstore going from 6 to 8 tonight. So think about that while you listen to this.
Of the world, we're in a jam from New York to Pakistan. Won't you take a minute or two and hear my plea? We're building lots of nuke-tipped missiles, adding all the bells and whistles which we have the gall to call security. But just now it ain't too late to organize and agitate. The buttons haven't yet been pushed. But please remember my cry, if those nukes start to fly, duck and cover, kiss your pretty ass goodbye. Some pack a punch of a million, the big one's 20 billion, I'm talking folks, pounds of TNT. They're on hair triggers, and President Bush, he figures that's the best way to protect our liberty. But just now it ain't too late to organize and agitate. The buttons haven't yet been pushed. But please remember my cry, if those nukes start to fly, duck and cover, kiss your pretty ass goodbye. Could write a letter, hey, protest, that's even better. For peace and life, we've got to take a chance. Go and vote, sign a petition. You don't need no one's permission to try and stop the proliferation dance. Yes, just now it ain't too late to organize and agitate. The buttons haven't yet been pushed. But please remember my cry, if those nukes start to fly, duck and cover, kiss your pretty ass goodbye. Yes, please remember my cry, if those nukes start to fly, duck and cover, kiss your pretty ass goodbye.
So you said your possessions were taken by police off of Pacific Avenue?
No, actually it was on Birch.
And what happened?
I was crying and they arrested me for drunk.
For drunk?
Yes.
Were you drunk?
Yes.
And
actually not, but right.
But you had
for their sakes.
You had some alcohol.
Of course.
But your possessions have been taken away from you?
I had my bicycle, my kiss table, my axe, my saw, my new CD player, my Pentax zoom lens camera.
Did the police say there had been a complaint?
My stones, my art materials, my painting from Tom and Ivor.
Did the police say there had been a complaint?
I will not complain.
How long were you held in jail?
7 hours.
And you said that you were forcefully seized in a fashion that hurt your arm?
Yes, I refused to be arrested.
And how did you refuse?
I said, I refuse. I cannot ride in a car that is hard like that. I don't ride in cars. I have a broken back.
And how many police officers were involved?
Three.
And you know the names of the police officers?
No.
About what time of day was it?
Morning.
In the morning or in the afternoon?
Last Friday morning.
And were there any witnesses?
No.
And what's your name?
Tucson Connor.
Well, thank you for the update. I'll put this out on free radio, whatever good that's worth.
Somebody, Gary said he saw my wagon, but...
Hope you got it back. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, you certainly should request it back, and if that doesn't work, make a claim against the city for all the property. That's my suggestion.
I refuse to sue anybody ever.
Right.
I've been hit too many times in the head. I don't thinking right. My tinker is gone. Tunk.
Gotcha. We're talking with a consumer of street spirit and a guitarist, as well as a traveling philosopher and wizened Hawaiian resident. Greg. Hey, Greg.
Hello. Aloha.
And now, you said you read the most recent Street Spirit, the September issue, and come to some conclusions.
Of course.
What did you find? Was it milder? Longer lasting? Did you savor?
It highlights quite a lot of the areas that of serious concern that need to be addressed in our society to make a more, you know, socially reasonable, you know, equitable society, especially for the... peoples who are not economically enfranchised, especially here in Santa Cruz with the shenanigans that are being pulled with, you know, statutory mischief under law to basically deny people basic things such as sleep and a place to stay, you know. So it was highlighted very well in the articles that were brought out there. I liked it very much. On the other hand, I did not like it very much. It was not exactly an up message, but at least it highlighted the problem very well.
Cool. Well, so there. Take that, my critics.
Yeah.
It's about 12:20. I'm across from the Harbor Cafe, actually walking past it, walking back to watch a police stop here. Two police vehicles making a man get out. This is a African-American. He's being stopped by two police officers who are having him put his hands on top of his head and searching him. We have a squad car and another car. And he is being patted down here. And all this happened about 4 or 5 days ago on 7th Avenue, around Portola, I believe the street is. It was 12:30 in the morning, and it's often a little nerve-wracking to stop and cop watch police, particularly cop watching them alone in the wee hours of the morning. But usually when I see somebody who's of a different skin color being stopped by multiple squad cars, I kind of feel obliged to be present. And I think that actually is helpful, and I think it was helpful in this case. I'm not going to play the tape because the problem I had with this particular cop watch was that the street was torn up on the side of the street where the police had stopped the car, so there was no sidewalk. For me to have been able to cop watch, I would have had to stand actually in the street itself or behind a kind of a yellow taped off area where they were repairing the sidewalk, both of which seemed difficult to do without potential harassment from the police myself. So I stood across the street and had real difficulty hearing much of what was said. I could see, and you heard some of the description of what I saw,
What I finally saw at the end was that this African-American individual who was driving the vehicle was finally released and let go. But it was also true that it was clear to the police officers that someone was standing across the street with a tape recorder. Now, whether that this had anything to do with anything, of course, who knows. But I do know that frequently it happens that when I pull up with a tape recorder, the police begin to disband and disappear. And now, of course, it doesn't always happen that way because there are numerous times when police are engaging in what I call legitimate stops. They aren't simply using the extra time and money that Mayor Kennedy or the federal government through various grants gives the police to engage in what eventually amounts to a bunch of harassment activity. But they're really engaged in real crime fighting, which does happen. You know, I'm glad it does happen. And on those occasions, you know, I'm more than pleased to see the police acting properly and whatever goes on, goes on. But half the time when I show up, I'll find things like five squad cars, as happened out on 38th Avenue about a month ago, five deputy squad cars stopping one couple. Four of them quickly disappeared after I'd showed with the tape recorder and a camera. I got a few pictures of it in case anyone doubts it. And similar kinds of activity happen downtown. And often if the police are in the middle of writing a citation, of course, they're not going to stop because someone else shows up. And I'm often criticized I'm occasionally criticized for raising my voice, not usually at the police, but to the surrounding community when I see police stopping, as they did a couple on Saturday night. They had parked a squad car at a diagonal angle in front of Borders with their spotlight shining on a couple who were sitting on a bench, apparently had been lying down on the bench in front of Borders. And police officer, two of them, were actually interrogating and standing over the couple, writing them a ticket for the blanket ban, I believe it was, either the blanket ban or the sleeping ban. It wasn't quite clear to me which it was. It was after 11 o'clock at night, so the laws that I've spoken of that were challenging in federal court were the laws the police were using to ticket these two young people. And my response to that was to announce to the Saturday night bar hoppers and passers-by and late-night folks coming home from movies that the Santa Cruz Police Department was engaging in activity with their taxpayer money to make sure that ne'er-do-wells, rabble, and troublemakers didn't sleep on the benches downtown and writing them up $54 tickets to that effect. Now, what this couple did was they tore up the tickets. And that's not necessarily the wisest thing to do. You may get a failure to appear and a higher fine, but it's completely understandable why that sort of thing happens. And I really think that it's important not just to watch the police as they give out tickets, but frankly, to draw a crowd over when you are clear that what they are doing is harassment activity. It's often hard to be completely certain as to what's happening. And frankly, I give the police frequently the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if it's some domestic violence situation or somebody seems to be way out in left field and has been engaging in violent activity, I don't jump up and start screaming at the police or even shouting to the surrounding neighborhood about what's going on. But if it's clear that what's going on is the enforcement of the Rotkin-Kennedy downtown ordinances, if it's clear that what they're doing is carrying out the merchant gentrification agenda, which is to harass poor people under these ordinances because they don't look right downtown, if it's Officer Bechtel, Pam Bechtel, CSO Pam Bechtel, doing another one of her innumerable tickets for such things as sitting within 14 feet of a building, even when it's bothering nobody, then it's really important that there be some dissenting voices on that issue. And I think it's important that everybody else out there do the same, as many people as possible. I think that that's the way to change this, because city council apparently does not want to respond to the opinion of its own downtown commission, doesn't want to respond to the majority opinion in the community that was presented to it in testimony. It prefers to meet rushed in sessions where it holds four sessions in the course of 2 weeks and passes ordinances when the students are gone. So their votes, testimony, and audience are not present. And that's what they did with these recent modifications, 2 years ago, of the downtown ordinances that gave us they expanded the forbidden zones so that most of the downtown sidewalks, virtually all the downtown sidewalks, are forbidden for sitting. Almost all sidewalks on all other business districts near buildings are completely forbidden for sitting, for tabling, or for performing, thanks to these laws. And there's a whole bunch of other new laws that are being used by police at their wish to harass, such as the unattended property law. If you leave unattended property, now it's not an opportunity for the police to return it to you. It's an opportunity for you to get a ticket for it, $162 ticket. We have a phone call. Let's see who's on the line here calling into Free Radio. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, Robert. It's Cop Watch Tom.
Oh, no. You're watching cops there, Tom?
Or they're watching us. Could you, I guess it's kind of weird to be calling in for to ask trivia questions about the downtown law. So what's the restriction on a is there a sitting distance from a change machine?
Let me take a look. I actually have a copy of the downtown ordinances with me. I believe the, who is asking you that question?
Oh, Bechtel just asked us all to stand up because we were sitting within 50 feet of a change machine.
CSO Pam Bechtel?
Yes.
If you are sitting at a table, which is a display device, the chair is considered part of the display device, and it is legal to sit at the chair.
Oh, yeah, it's sitting on the ground, though.
But sitting on the ground, according to the sitting ban, which I'm now going to look up here to be sure, which is Section 9.50.012, states that... no person shall occupy any portion of a public way or public place so as to obstruct or interfere with the flow. Nope, that's not the right one. Sorry, let me skip ahead. Sitting down. No person shall sit upon the following enumerated portions of a public sidewalk. Within 50 feet of any cash dispersal machine, outdoor vending machine, outdoor money changing machine, or any other outdoor machine or device which disperses or accepts coins or public paper currency, except parking meters and newspaper vending machines. So my suggestion to you is, A, be prepared to get a ticket. B, have about 25 people join you in sitting down, and all of you can get tickets. C, tape record the entire thing so we can have CSO Bechtel's fine, sonorous voice available for us to hear.
We were actually close. I just walked it off, and we were one person was 48 feet from the change machine, and I think the other two of us were around 51 feet, so I think we were actually legal. But,
Did CSO Bechtel stay with ticket book threateningly?
No, she was in her car, so she did stay for a minute in the car, but then she drove off.
Maybe you need some nice rotten fruit to present to her the next time she shows up.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Yes. Well, that unfortunately is the Kennedy-Rotkin 2002 amendment to the ordinance. It actually, it was the Kennedy amendment, which Rotkin
I just wanted to check, but it's good to know that she's very exact. Even 48 feet, she's on top of it. So.
That's an officer asking. Of course, you could also move the change machine. I'd suggest that change machine might be appropriately moved.
That's a good idea. I think it's pretty easy to move.
How about to the middle of the San Lorenzo River? That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, how's it going out there? Any reports from the street as far as human beings rather than, should we say, police officers acting robotically go?
We have Bernard handing out flyers and some other people hanging out around the table. Things are going pretty good as usual.
Have there been any reports of sleeping ban tickets in the past month or two? Actually, we're looking for tickets for the last year, but any reports of anything coming in that regard?
No, we're still hoping for them, but no, we haven't had anyone come by to fill out a report or anything like that.
Well, I think that it might be time for a big sit-in next to the cash machine to make sure that nobody steals the machine. It is, should we say, not the most popular machine in the world. So perhaps we could have a sort of a sit-in around the cash machine.
Peer protected, yeah.
Well, carry on. Any other report?
No, that's all for now.
Please keep me abreast of events.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
And if you want your very own copy of the Deadly Downtown Ordinances in brief, you'll probably find that at this very same table that is getting such close scrutiny from CSO Bechtel in her roaming vehicle. Luckily, she's not disturbing robberies or abusive activities by spousal violence. She's taking care of people sitting on the sidewalk at political tables. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. It's Shannon.
Hey, Shannon. What's the good word?
What I don't have Valerie's number, and I have a huge pot of food here.
Ooh. You know, I think that they may be hearing this news even as we speak, because you are going out over the radio on the table, and they may be listening to you.
Well, there's a big pot of spaghetti with spicy eggplant sauce on it.
Whoa.
And it's sitting here, and it's hot, and it's just going to turn to mush if somebody doesn't come get it and bring it down there.
I will hope that they hear
it's
and
like
respond.
It's like 9 pounds of spaghetti, so they need to come get it.
Hey, and for those of you who are out there, that food's pretty good. Come on down to Soquel and Pacific in about 15 minutes, and it'll be available for you.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, that's also what folks who have been helpful and concerned with Copwatch, Huff, and the street performers group, SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, have been doing in the last, it's been almost a year now, maybe certainly 9 months. As we table, we try to feed people so that if you're hungry, you can come up and grab a bite to eat, read a flyer, learn a little bit of this and that. Try to sit down, unless, of course, CSO Bechtel is nearby, and then, of course, you've got to deal with that situation. We have another call here. My goodness, phone is ringing. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. What do you know of Proposition 63?
63. Well,
yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question. It was brought up favorably by a Sacramento advocate for folks in seeking mental health help. At least that's how some describe it. Sally Zinman, that was back in two Sundays ago. Proposition 63 is a money to fund what she describes as voluntary services for folks who are psychologically distressed, including housing, job employment, medication, for those of you who believe in such things. The problem, of course, with that is that it's not clear what percentage of this, for me, goes to voluntary and what percentage is available for involuntary stuff. And that's actually something we're going to be talking about further, I hope, this coming Sunday when we do our show from 9:30 to 1.
Okay. Yeah, I heard your guest you had a while back, the author of Mad in America.
Robert Whitaker, yeah.
Yeah, and I was able to order that through the Capitol Book Cafe. And there was like one distributor had one copy, and another distributor in Tennessee had 15 copies. I told me there wasn't too many out there.
Wow. You know, Whitaker's Mad in America should be at the main library, too, for those who are interested, because I believe they got a copy. And, of course, we talked about urging him to write his second book, which he's already outlined and has done some research for, but can't get his publisher and his agent to really agree that it was a good idea to do. He's been kind of holding off on it, which is as a follow-up on specifically, not just he was dealing with drugs around schizophrenia, atypical drugs, but he considered the whole situation of drugs around mental illness generally, including depression drugs, which are getting antidepressant drugs, which are getting some play in the media now. You may have seen the FDA as it hasn't banned their use like the British have, but it has insisted there be large warning labels about the dangers of suicidal activity. That they've now shown, and also the fact that there's not much positive impact done by antidepressant drugs in the latest FDA trials.
Well, the downside, what do you see the downsides of Prop 63? You mentioned
I actually may have a little description from the Sentinel, which isn't, of course, the best source.
No.
You know, what I'll do is I'll try to go online a little bit and look up some of the descriptions as we proceed here. The problem I have is that I haven't really educated myself thoroughly on it. I'd hope to get Sally to give a call in and then have Jane Kaiser, our local psychiatric inmates rights, human rights advocate, give her perspective too. I think she's rather critical of Proposition 63, although she acknowledges she hasn't studied it extremely closely. So I can't really give you an informed opinion. It gives money, supposedly, in Sally's view, and Sally is not an advocate of forced incarceration, forced drugging, or any of that stuff. She opposes all that stuff. She seems to think it provides more resources outside the mental health system or through some aspects of the mental health system, and that it's a matter of people in communities having to write good plans and activists having to get active to make sure that the local boards of supervisors okay the good plans. But the problem I have with that analysis is, and I haven't studied it closely again, For example, in our county, supposedly the city of Santa Cruz, the big liberal Santa Cruz and the somewhat liberal Santa Cruz County, although we're liberal on some things like medical marijuana in the county, though in the city there's no distribution centers, as you know.
Just so it's WHAM there.
Well, WHAM isn't a distribution center. It's only for its own, you know, folks. It's a collective, right. A closed collective. So it doesn't really, to me, in my book, it's not a distribution center. You can't walk into WHAM and say, I'm sick, can I get some medical marijuana? They'll say, oh, go to San Francisco, go to Oakland, or here's the waiting list, you know. Unless you happen to get some under the table, which I guess can happen. But generally speaking, it isn't a distribution center. So.
One final question, Robert. Thanks.
Yeah.
If you were betting, or your life depended on it, who would you say was going to win this, Bush or Kerry? They're both Skull and Bones members. It's kind of like six of one, half a dozen of another. But who would you bet?
Well, my answer to that question is always, I think we need to devote our energies to getting out of Iraq and to raising issues in the streets, in the media, and in our community, rather than worrying about which of the two CEO rich guys is going to win the election. And that
but if you were betting, though? If you were betting.
I would bet the American people are going to lose the election. That's what I would bet.
Right. Well, we already, yeah, but...
In other words, I dodge your question because because I don't feel, I don't feel, I mean, it's as important as many people think, but I also acknowledge that, you know, there are some differences between these hacks, and, you know, I suppose you can make that decision on election day, but until then, I would not give your vote to anybody, ever.
Well, my thinking is that both Skull and Bones members, the president is just a puppet, and, you know, any of them. But I wondered if the unseen hand behind the scenes would change if another president got in there.
Well, you know,
another power.
There's a question about neocons and, you know, that sort of stuff. The reality, though, I think, is if we want the policies to change, we have to put sufficient pressure.
We've got to do something, right? Just like the union members did. They had, you know, they lost, people died by, you know, and, yeah, you have to give something to get something, and people died, you know, and
The Iraqi people, of course, are the ones that are doing something.
Right.
The Iraqi resistance is doing something, and that's producing a heavy, just like in Vietnam, when the Vietnamese, it was the Vietnamese people who threw out, you know, the U.S., although, the, you know, the U.S. people also helped. You know, while Kerry was busy gunning down people under the Phoenix program and Bush was dodging the draft, there were other people who were fighting to stop the war. And unfortunately, it's really hard. It's very depressing. You look at the massive tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people who are out a year and a half ago, and everybody is either depressed, defeated.
Right.
I don't know. They've gone to Hawaii for the winter, or they're in the Amsterdam. I don't know where they are. So it's depressing. But don't give up.
Yeah. Okay, Robert.
All right.
Thanks again.
All right.
Bye.
You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM. Call-in number is 427-3772. I'm Robert Norse. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And I'm having my problems with the internet here, but I'm getting lots of calls. So there's an upside to everything. Let's see who's on the line. Hey, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, it's Tom again.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Go ahead.
I can talk briefly about Prop 63 if you want to hear a little bit about it.
Prop 63?
Yeah, the mental health one.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, not extremely familiar with it, but I do know that. The if it doesn't pass Front Street Inc.'s plan on closing the Opal Cliffs facility, which, you know, I'm sure they're kind of doing this because this is like the least one you'd want to close. But I think it is an all-voluntary facility. It's not one of conserved people like 7th Avenue is or something like that. So, yeah, I think it is, you know, flexible how the money's spent. But I think, you know, I'm sure a good portion of it will go to people that are involuntarily conserved. And it is going to for-profit companies and not some kind of non-profit, more city-controlled collective. But, yeah.
Well, they're actually, I'm looking at the Sentinel article. There are five programs that claim that they're going to go either be cut or be reduced. Front Streets, Opal Cliffs, Santa Cruz Community Counseling Center's 10-bed transition house, needing 772,000 counseling centers, day treatment program, 47,500 volunteer centers, community connections, 57,500 and mental health client action network, which are the people who are supposed to be the advocates with 10,000. That's the buy-in so that they stay on board this co-opted ship to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how. I guess Opal Cliffs is not that. Not involuntary, but it's, I haven't heard much. Have you heard any specifics about it?
No, I guess I don't know that many details about the facility. But I hear it is one of their nicer ones that, I don't know. Yeah, that I don't think they're conserved, so I don't think they're physically forced to be there, or, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I spent some time trying to get information from Sally Zinman about who would really control this money. Who would make sure that, you know, what percentage of it went to actual housing services and employment services, and rather than to middle level bureaucrats with, you know, with jobs and caseworkers and medication and pharmaceutical companies. And I couldn't really get a clear answer. Not because Sally was being evasive, because she genuinely didn't really know, and I don't really know the way to find out that answer, but it's an important question to ask.
Yeah, I think there are just kind of county and city level agencies that negotiate each contract and that, you know, divide up, I guess, the consumers, as they call them, among the facilities. So, yeah, I don't know either exactly who makes all those decisions, but... Now, I could probably research it more if you wanted.
Please, I'd like that. I know Sally said she was going to, but she's pretty busy and she hasn't gotten back yet, so.
Yeah.
I'll be expecting a full report from you, along with your 43 other reports.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Oh, by the way, you've heard that the food is forthcoming if somebody comes and picks it up?
Yes, I think Valerie already left to go get it. So
the food is on the way, all you hungry masses.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank
you. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. And,
phone's ringing.
My goodness, the phone seems to be ringing. Yes, it is. You're right. Hello there. What's up, caller?
I just called to confirm your last statement.
Yes.
The food is on its way downtown.
All right, the spaghetti is in motion. Cool.
Okay.
Hey, do you have any reports yourself there from the street there, spaghetti maker?
You know, still persecuted as always, but still struggling by.
No reports about vans being broken into by police or things like that?
No, I haven't heard anything new on that yet.
Good. Then let's hope that's all a thing of the past.
One can hope, but I chuckle loudly.
Loud chuckle in the background.
I'll talk to you later, Robert.
Thanks, Shannon. Bye-bye. And that's a single mom who is putting out a lot of energy to feed a lot of other folks on the streets. My hat's off to her. By the way, if you want to help out serving people food, you can either go to the Huff table and volunteer some food. She's looking for bags of rice and beans and other kinds of staples. Or you can contact Food Not Bombs, 425-3345. They need volunteers, 425-3345. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello?
Isn't that illegal to serve food?
Well, it should be. You know, we've been trying to arrest those people, but they somehow keep slipping through the net.
Slipping through the net.
Yeah.
How's it going, Robert?
Well, you know, it's not bad. I'm hanging in here trying to... I'm having internet problems that have nothing to do with the station. I send myself my itinerary as to what I'm going to talk about, and then it doesn't arrive until like 6 hours later.
Oh, maybe you should call yourself and remind yourself to send it to you.
I should call myself and remind myself probably earlier, but usually, you know, you send something on the internet, it comes through in 5 minutes. This is kind of peculiar, but hey, I'm just living with it and loving it, so what can I say?
Well, I was calling in to let you know, I don't know if you heard the news, but pirate radio station, much like our own, was shut down yesterday.
Knoxville. Tell me about it. I know I heard the brief Amy Goodman's update, but you have more?
Yeah, I actually interviewed some folks. Tennessee, what they call FAR, First Amendment Radio, Knoxville, Tennessee, been on the air 3 years, was raided by the FCC and U.S. Federal Marshals yesterday morning about 10 a.m. They confiscated all the equipment. Everything but the 115-foot tower, because I guess they were too lazy to bring the tower down. And the funny thing about the raid is that the U.S. Marshals were not into it. And I've noticed this at other raids, that U.S. Marshals just kind of stand idly by while the FCC has to do all the work. The Marshals are there basically as the law enforcement. And one of them even commented that they have listened to the radio station and liked it. But were there just doing their job. So they had all their equipment confiscated. They're meeting, I guess, this weekend to find out if they're going to go back on the air. It looks, talking to the two programmers I talked to earlier today, that they're probably going to go back on the air again. So that's a good thing.
Was this done, like, pursuant to a warrant, or what was the deal?
They got a warrant for, they've been, just like us, they've been visited, you know, told no, you can't do this. And we say, yes, we can. But the only difference between us and them, and I've noticed between other stations that have been busted, is that they try to apply for a license, which in my opinion is pointless, to try to apply for these low-power FM licenses, since they're still being held up in court and all this rigmarole going on in the courts. It just makes it harder and harder for folks to get on the air, especially poor folks.
Has anyone done a survey as to, looking at FCC closures in the last 2 or 3 years, how many of those closures have been of stations that have been trying to get licenses?
I don't know right now, but there is stuff up at a website called DIYmedia.net, and they have all the enforcement visits. I think I vaguely looked at it, and there must have been 200 or 300 visits to different stations, because there's tons of stations out there, tons of stations doing what we're doing, and especially micro stations that are coming on the air, community micro stations.
Well, I know we last had a threat, what, about 4 months ago?
So? May, yeah, they came by, visited us there, that location, and it was just after we moved from 96.3 and moved locations.
Mm-hmm.
They came knocking on the door just to let us know they're there. I actually ran up and got an interview with them.
Sort of neighborly of them, you know.
Well, it was the same two FCC agents that contacted us 10 years ago.
They were feeling lonely. You hadn't invited them to dinner, you know.
It was very weird. I was talking to them and then realized, we all realized at the same time that we have been here before, and it was in the back of Campbell Street almost 10 years ago.
Now, that was the first place that the station...
Yeah, you got a show there.
I remember.
The very first place was Kim Argula's bedroom.
I don't think she ever let me into the bedroom.
Well, nobody would, Robert. But,
well,
yeah, I was there
nobody.
Briefly, and we were going to put it in this carport. We started making a studio out of the carport, and then some insurance adjuster happened to show up out of the blue, saw us building this thing in the back, or whatever, the property management person, and then said, no. So we got another no. So this we had to put it down because we didn't want the folks to get kicked out of the house. So then we went to Campbell Street the first time.
Do you have any overall assessment, Bob? I know that V-Man did a lot of work on this, and I haven't talked to him recently, but how many stations are on the air now, free radio stations, compared to a few years ago? Are we going up? Are we going down? Are we winning? Are we losing? I know we get more press from Amy Goodman, who talks about these stations favorably, and that more power to her. But
yeah, it was kind of weird hearing that on her show, maybe because she came to our station and did that little thing with V-Man and Old Lady Scar Arms. You know, they did an interview and stuff, and interviewed Utah Phillips, which she's never aired on her show, or other stuff interviewing with us. So anyway, whatever. No, I'm not bitter with Amy. Me and Amy got issues. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't be bitter.
I'm sure you have issues with Amy, too.
Amy is, you know, I mean, that's another person who's, I won't get into
anyway, that. Not enough homeless issues on the show. I know.
I enjoy listening to Amy Goodman, and I'm glad she's doing her thing, and I'm glad she came to Free Radio. No one in Free Radio invited me to the party, of course. No,
that piece today, I don't know if you caught it, talking about the aid workers that were abducted.
Yes.
In Iraq, and talking about how professionally well it was done.
Jeremy Scahill, yeah, that was
suspicious. Yeah.
For those who are interested in what we're talking about, you can actually go to www.democracy.org and actually review.
DemocracyNow.org.
I'm sorry, quite right. Democracy Now. Thank you. DemocracyNow.org, and you can check the archives. You can actually hear her shows for the last goodness knows how many months or years. She archives them all, and that's really a valuable resource. And indeed, you can also get my shows. My shows are archived, too, now, at www.santacruzcopwatch.org/Robert. So there.
So there. And if folks want to download, I interviewed two folks from KFAR and put them up at radio.indiemedia.org. And if people want to check out, it's a really good source for – and that one, diymedia.net. I don't know how many stations there are. There are a lot more coming online now, illegal stations. I know the Prometheus Radio Project, they're the ones that want to get people the low-power FM, go the legal route way, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of people seem to, you know, maybe look at that like these folks did. They sparked the interest, and then they went on illegally anyway, and while they're waiting for their license. You know, like, you know, we're going to wait around for our license for 3, 4, 5 years, you know. Well, meanwhile, yeah. There's all this news and information like what's going on downtown right there. I mean, you're not going to get that anywhere else, you know. Pam Bechtel on her, out on her little rampage.
Pam on a tear, what can you say?
Oh, she pulled me and my son over one day on our bikes.
Well, what did you do?
It's what we didn't do that she didn't see. It's like supposedly we ran a stop sign and she like pulled us over saying that some other citizen informed her that we ran a stop sign. And I said, well, did you see me run the stop sign? She said, no. And I said, then it didn't happen. And she started getting all flustered. And I said, it didn't happen. And she's all like, sir, I think it did happen. What do you mean you think it did happen? How do you know? You don't even know. You weren't there. You didn't see what happened. Have a good day. See you later. And then she went and hit around the corner to see if we'd run through another stop sign. Which was,
you know, you have a way of frustrating these police officers, Bob, which I find rather disheartening.
Well, it's just when they know that somebody knows their rights and, you know, just shines a light on them. And it's kind of like a bunch of cockroaches. They got to retreat and run away. So, anyway.
It's unfortunate.
What folks need to learn their rights, and it's good that you're out there tabling, letting people know. And Cop Watch Tom's out there tabling. Props out to him for doing that, because I used to do that. It's really hard work to do Cop Watch.
Yeah, it's strange because so many people get hassled by the police so much, but yet to try to do something proactively about it is hard to do because people got so many other things they feel they need to do. They don't realize how much time they're going to waste when they get harassed or ticketed, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, that's what I was doing when I was homeless. I was working with Food Not Bombs and doing Cop Watch. I'd get a scanner and just follow those fuckers around and watch them, and they knew it was me watching them, and I'd hear them run me for warrants on the scanner and blah, blah, blah. Now they got cell phones. They don't use the scanners as much if they know that you're listening. But it's just interesting to watch and to see that, you know, if people know their rights and they're able to stand up, they could just walk away. I walked away from cops when they've stopped me for no reason and just said, look, am I breaking the law? No. Good day. See you. And just turn and walk away, and they can't do a damn thing about it.
Oh, wait a minute, sir. We should detain you for questioning.
No, they usually just grab me then, but
right.
I've never been detained like that before.
That's the big deal now, the detention rather than the arrest. But anyway, I appreciate your calling in, Bob.
All right. Take care, Robert.
Hey, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. Let's hear a little music from The Sweet Savage, not the Michael Savage, but the Danielle Savage. If it has limbs, it's probably useless.
American lives have got to give. Teach our kids that it's all so fine just job every day. Going to my shit job every day. Wasn't it supposed to make me feel so happy? Now I'm just old and trashy.
And we interrupt this fine song to get a report from the street. Hey there, Michael. You there?
Yeah, we're here. Robert, good to talk to you. We're just enjoying your show. Thanks for all the good info. We're just enjoying this lovely pot of spaghetti. We got a thumbs up to Shannon and the crew that put in the effort to make it. I don't know if she had anybody with community service helping yet, but we just wanted to be sure that that idea got out in the mix, that her and some other people are going to be signing people off that are supporting Huff and Safe for these projects.
Okay.
So that was it. Thumbs up on the spaghetti and getting the community service word out.
Whatever you do, don't sit down.
And, yeah, we're on the other side of the light pole. We figured out we could beat the rap by staying on the far side of the pole.
On the far side of the pole.
We're on the far side here. You got that right.
You know, you're frustrating poor Pam Bechtel again. You know, can't you give her a break?
Well, you know, we all got a job to do, and as long as we're all busy doing something, then life goes on in the lovely city of Santa Cruz.
And I want to remind you, Michael, you got two tickets from Pam Bechtel. And
well, one. She didn't have all the fun. The other guy, he got
Oh, you only got one ticket, or
from her?
Oh,
yeah.
I see. One ticket from her. One ticket, Officer Brandt.
Right, Brandt is alias and. Street. Yeah.
Yeah. My concern about those
Street
tickets,
feet.
I encourage other people out there, if you get tickets, bring them to the Huff table. We want to fight them. I know that you kind of use the low profile approach, but I think it's a good thing to stand up for our rights in these public spaces, and I encourage people to do that. And I appreciate your report, Mike.
Okay.
Hey.
Real good.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. If you got a report, I will put you on live. 427-3772 is the phone number here. I'm Robert Norse. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. Our phone lines are open. Let's hear a little more of that Danielle Savage song that we were listening to.
American lives have got to give.
On Saturday evening, the 11th of September, it's like a police car is double parked here.
Hey, Robert.
What's happening?
They're bothering these guys for laying down on the bench.
Okay, come. What's your name?
James Nay.
I'm sorry, James. I didn't recognize you. So here we have actually two police officers who are talking to a couple here. And it looks like they're getting a citation here.
The red box.
Yeah. So what's been happening?
Oh, nothing. They were laying down here on the bench, and this cop just came in and gave them a ticket. They weren't even doing anything but laying there.
Police citing someone for lying down on a bench here in Santa Cruz, folks. A police car with a spotlight on a couple here for lying down on a bench. Check it out. This is your taxpayer dollars at work, folks. This is the compassionate face of Santa Cruz right here. Santa Cruz police dollars. Ticket for lying down on a public bench.
Shut up, Curtis.
Santa Cruz justice at work, folks. Two police officers here.
No way. I would do my own way too.
$162 ticket for lying down on a bench. This is a city where it's illegal to sleep at night if you're homeless. Two police officers right here, check them out. Ticketing a person, two people, for sleeping on a bench. Check it out. Beg your pardon, not even sleeping. They were just lying down.
Hey, it's September the 11th. Take it too wrong.
September the 11th? Are these men pursuing terrorists? No, they're pursuing homeless people on a bench. For lying down on a bench in Santa Cruz. Check it out while you shop, folks.
Better than the government bombing their own people in the World Trade Center.
Right.
Only arresting two people.
Right.
How much money is being spent here by these two police officers? Giving tickets to people who can't pay the tickets. Right here in Santa Cruz. It's a serious crime problem, folks. Two people lying down on a bench. Check it out.
What's going on, dude? What are you guys doing?
Why do people get angry? Why do people get violent? When they see injustice, they get angry. When they see people being ticketed, for doing what you have to do in the evening. Rest. Sleep. Police harassing homeless people in Santa Cruz. Right here. Writing out tickets.
They're just trying to keep us safe, man.
That's true. That's true. They're just trying to keep us safe. Safe and warm in Santa Cruz. This is progressive Santa Cruz, folks. And maybe George Bush might do this. But no, this is the Santa Cruz police ticketing two people for lying down on a bench.
Fucking
you take a look at the ticket?
Yeah, your head's fucking busted.
So, you want to talk about this for free radio?
Go ahead, Ben.
So, what happened?
We were laying down and covering ourselves up with a sleeping bag, and both are illegal, I guess, so we
he
got in
up
trouble.
When the cop was, like, right there, like, fucking not even that many feet away. The cop seen that his eyes were fucking open. It was fucking stupid.
Hey, you guys are fucking criminals, man. You guys fucking land a bench
take
on
a look 9/11. Can I take a look at the pieces of the ticket? You've got actually given the ticket a dissection here. So what's your first name?
Brian.
And what's your first name?
Alex.
And how, this happened just a few minutes ago?
We were laying on the bench and it's illegal for us to fucking cover ourselves up with a sleeping bag too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You can't cover yourselves
we're
up with a
we're not allowed
bag.
To have blankets or sleeping bag downtown because it's an object used for sleeping and we're not allowed to have those past dark on the
Wow.
Now, where'd you sleep last night, indoors or outdoors?
Indoors. A friend let us stay with them. Tonight we had to sleep outdoors.
And did they say there had been a complaint, or did they just come up on you? What did they say?
He was driving down the road, and he saw us, and he swerved real quick and shined that light right on us as soon as he saw us.
Did you see the name of the officer? I couldn't get his name.
I didn't.
Swanick?
Yeah.
And the other one was?
I have no clue. Right. He's a new
right.
cop.
I hawked the
right. So these are officers. One was a sergeant.
Three of them.
Swanick and sergeant.
So Sergeant Swanick and an officer is what your understanding of it is. Okay. Well, you want to challenge this ticket in court?
No, I don't give a fuck. I probably won't even pay it. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do.
So the way to do it is you wait 3 weeks, and then you go to the court. And you find it, and you disqualify the referee. I can tell you more about it in a couple of weeks. And then you come to a Huff meeting, or you give me a call at 423-HUFF. And we haven't got a lawyer, but we can tell you what to do. If you're still around, your other option is you can take a, you know, it'll be a failure to appear, you know, and they'll just put you in jail for a night or two. I mean, that's the other possibility, if they find you. It could be room and board.
Where are you staying tonight?
Yeah. Any final comments for Free Radio?
Fuck those pigs.
Comment for Free
Radio?
Comment for Free Radio?
Wait, what?
Do you have anything you want to say to Free Radio?
Yeah, those cops came by our tent the other day, told us we had to leave, gave us 3 days to pack up all our shit. We packed it up, came back 2 days later, put our tent back.
Now, are these the same police or different police?
I think they're different. I don't know. I don't remember.
Again, we've been talking with
Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Sorry about this. Okay, we're talking with
Denise.
Denise, you're bound for Portland in a couple days, but how long have you been in town?
For about 2 months and I think 5 days.
You're sitting here on the corner of Soquel and Pacific in front of Borders. And I guess you found this whole scene with the ticketing of the folks on the bench a little curious.
Yeah, I was walking around the corner of Borders, and there's a couple, like, cop cars over there, and apparently two of my friends have been sleeping on a bench, and there was a big, like, hubbub, and it was really ridiculous. I was very upset by this, because this community, like, I mean, from what I've seen of it so far, seems to be a very, like, aware community. However, these stupid ordinances are like, in existence that are really fundamentally, like, wrong. How can you treat people this way? I mean, a homeless person is still a person, and I'm sorry, I'm, like, getting really, like, worked up.
Hey, well, have you yourself ever been hassled for this kind of thing?
Pardon?
Have you been hassled yourself for this kind of thing?
No, but there's a whole bunch of ordinances about sitting. and, yeah, I've been hassled about that a bunch of times, but, yeah, there's so many little things like that. And
ticketed or just warned or?
Warned mostly, and of course you want to like respect that warning, and it's hard to, there's not much seating, but I don't know.
Thank you. Talking with
Karina.
Karina, you have a concern.
I just think that Santa Cruz is dying, like the spirit, the actual thing that was here about
that's
maybe.
The one, dude. That's the ticketed one right there. Right on. Dude.
Ticketed for sleeping.
Yeah, for lying down, actually, he says. Not even sleeping. Covering up with a blanket.
A sleeping bag. A ticket for having a sleeping bag. I'm sorry, but that's the spirit of Santa Cruz, because Santa Cruz is all about, okay, let's crash. You know what I mean? Let's slide. And now it's like, you can't do that.
The spirit of Santa Cruz is getting a ticket?
Now. It didn't used to be that way. That's what I'm saying. Santa Cruz is dying, because Santa Cruz used to be about, let's do what we want to do, let's crash wherever we want to crash, let's feel safe in any part where we can. And it was safe, but now it's not.
How long have you been in and out of Santa Cruz?
My whole life. 20 years.
You've lived here for 20 years?
In and out. But,
are
yeah.
Are you staying or are you leaving?
I'm leaving, but I've been here long enough, that's why I'm leaving.
Well, there you are. The spirit of Santa Cruz is leaving. This is bad news, but thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome.
You'd like to actually organize some kind of sleeping van rally, Denise?
Absolutely, dude. I think it'd be awesome. I think there's plenty of support in this community. Lots of the kids will come out. Everyone, yeah, all right, I can't think now. I'm like...
but you, on the other hand, are thinking that those people who might do that are kind of wrapped up in amphetamines? And...
That's the attitude. the necessarily people are mostly lazy, either because they smoke pot or because they're doing tweak. Doing tweak, you only do tweak at the nighttime, and then you wake up and you go to sleep.
Yeah, there's definitely like a huge crystal meth problem in this town. A lot of the younger kids that should be
13, 14.
It's absolutely absurd. I mean, and these cops have more important things to worry about, dude. It's not even funny. It's really not. It's actually quite unfortunate. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of effort and resources. And these people ain't doing nothing wrong. They're sleeping. It makes me really mad. I don't live here. I'm getting out of this. I feel like if the crystal meth was, like, to some extent curbed, then there would be more of a chance to, like, either...
We can get a government grant to help curb crystal meth by organizing protests against the sleeping bag.
You can't curb crystal meth because you can make it in your bathtub. And you can make $1,000 off $32 worth of drugstore items.
Maybe I better just start working on that bathtub scene. Thank you for the tip.
You're welcome. No problem.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. We do have an open chat room at pagesincolor.com. Let me take a peek on the chat room and see if anybody's chattering. Doesn't look like too much chattering is happening, but you can always jump on board if you'd like. If you're at a computer, pagesincolor.com, and then click on chat room, or you can give a call, 427-3772. If you tried to call just a few moments ago, I picked up the phone just as you hung up. So try again, 427-3772. You can also call off air, 423-HUFF, leave a message, 423-4833, particularly if you are reporting a sleeping ban incident, such as you just heard here. And don't make the mistake I did, which is not getting the full name and stats of the people involved. They seem rather upset at the time, so I didn't take all that information. It's good to try to get all the information, who the officers were, if you know them, where it happened, what time, were they warned. All these details are helpful, what kind of conversation they had. Because if you're going to court, all this kind of information could be important. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert. Hello?
Hi, is Rachel available?
Who?
Rachel available?
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're live on the air. Say something for the public.
This is Danielle calling on behalf of SBC.
Uh-oh.
I'm calling to make sure that your services are exactly the way that you want them.
I gotcha. You should probably call at a later time.
Okay, thank you.
It's the old phone bill situation, so I will say no more about that. I was at a meeting on Wednesday night. I guess you could call it a meeting. Last Wednesday, a week ago, SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network, is the kind of... it and a number of other organizations held a forum. I talked about this briefly on, I think it was on Sunday, last Sunday, when I have another show from 9:30 to 1 in the afternoon, morning show actually, until 1 in the afternoon. There's a Santa Cruz City Council race coming up where the four incumbents, the majority of the City Council is seven, is running for re-election. Porter, Riley, Kennedy, and Primack. And there are also three others running, Fogle, Coonerty, and Madrigal. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of good things to say about any of them, although Fogle is courteous enough to return his calls, and I was going to have him on the air and hopefully may have him on the air in a future point. But he sounds like, in a sense, the most conservative of the seven and probably, in a way, the one that I would ideologically be most opposed to, although temperamentally, I like the guy. But I also talked in the last show about the possibility of doing a write-in candidacy. I understand there may be other Huff members who may be interested in doing a write-in candidacy. The write-in candidacy is not one that's likely to win the election or even to have you invited to these election forums, but it does, I'm told, provide you with more protection from police if you're being harassed in public places. So perhaps we should have the entire homeless population register as write-in candidates. I don't know. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
I'm one of the write-ins.
Oh, why don't you talk about your candidate there, your candidacy there, potential candidate.
Well, I'm just sort of, that story you just played made me cry. I really miss Santa Cruz. I really do. It used to be the most beautiful, warm-hearted place on earth. And somehow along the way, we sold out. We got to take it back. time we stop treating each other shitty here. The reason people came from all over the world to Santa Cruz is because it always felt like home. Everybody here smiled and laughed, and there was music on the streets, and they'd go home and tell their friends about this wonderful place with this great vibe by the sea in California, and people would come here because they just had to feel it, and they just had to see it. And now it's just a street with a bunch of fucking stores, and God, it drives me crazy. So we need to put the heart back in Santa Cruz. That's all there is to it.
Hey, well, we'll be happy to follow your campaign as you go. I know that you not only put the heart back in Santa Cruz, but you also put some food back in the belly of the folks in Santa Cruz.
I try to do what I can.
We were talking to you earlier. We're talking to Shannon, right?
Yeah, it's Shannon B.
And Shannon, you're not only feeding homeless people around the Huff table at Borders even as we speak, but you're taking care of two kids and dealing with all kinds of other nonsense that's going
on.
Yeah,
the county likes to, you know, every time you ask them for anything, they have to force it down your throat like it was their idea. It's freaking nauseating, but because most of the people who work for them are so politically correct, they can't stand up straight. It's just the way it happens, you know.
Right, politically co-opted.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You know, there's something about liberals who start to work for the county because then they all hang out and have lunch together. And so they all start to think that everybody in the other department treats each other like their clients, the way they treat each other at lunch. So they think it's okay to just, like, send you from place to place. Like, it's no big deal to deal with people from CPS or the police or whatever because they're all buddies to each other. But that's sure as hell ain't the way they treat us.
That's been my my experience. I mean, we heard the case of Michael Seymour. Here, let me take a swig of this water before I choke.
Yeah, well, you know, Santa Cruz politics can make you do that.
And that's no joke. The Michael Seymour, people may remember, had a long interview on Sunday. This is the older guy with all kinds of tumorous conditions who lives in his vehicle. He was he had medical marijuana in his vehicle. A park ranger named Horvarki came after him in December, believing that he should have two license plates on his car when he explained that if you're from New Mexico, they only give you one. By his account, Horvarki smashed his windshield, creating a large crack. He then found medical marijuana in his car, even though he had it for a legal condition. They towed his vehicle in park, ruining his vehicle for any long-distance travel. So he's been stuck here. He was again arrested or cited for medical marijuana in August and continues to be harassed by Officer Perry and several others based on apparently an anonymous phone campaign by his account. And I actually interviewed him. It's going to be going out over community television probably within the month. He's a very, those who may have heard this story, very articulate guy.
I don't know about those officers in particular, but I was pushed into a ditch at New Brighton by a forest ranger.
Really?
Yeah, I think I told you this story a long time ago.
When was that?
It was Foxworthy, lovely lady that she is.
Say that again?
Foxworthy. She's notorious for... If when the homeless school was picking up kids from New Brighton Beach, she would check the campsites of the kids after the van would come and pick them up, you know, just to make sure.
To make sure of what?
She was a concerned citizen. Oh, that we weren't, like, being drug addicts or beating our kids, I guess, because, you know, if you're homeless, that's usually what you do.
Well, you're obviously a drug addict or an abusive person, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, something. Because none of us end up homeless because we make bad choices in anybody's mind, you know, or that we chose to live one lifestyle and then change into another. It's immediately people assume that there's some drug or alcohol connection involved in poverty, you know, always.
And this was when you were part of the River Street Refugees?
No, it's actually when I had kids. It was 2 years ago.
Huh.
Year and a half ago, we were staying at New Brighton. And Foxworthy came along, and our motorhome, it's when the bad tranny was in it. And it wouldn't go into reverse, my motorhome. And so I was sort of stuck in a spot. And she came and, like, was saying, push up the embankment. And I was saying, no, you're pushing me into a ditch. And she pretty much just ordered it done. And did it, and then said that if I didn't have it removed within an hour, she was going to impound it.
Wow.
So So I know about, yeah. She told me she knew there was no reason to investigate and then continued to have an investigation. And I said, well, if you just told me that you know that there was no crime committed and that this was a false report, so you're investigating the wrong crime. The crime you should be investigating is the false report, not standing in my campground wasting time.
You know, that's something that other homeless activists have been successful in using. For instance, when homeless activist David Bush was told to leave a restaurant, or I guess it was a restaurant in Southern California, he said, no, I've ordered a cup of coffee and I'm going to stay here. I have a right under the UNRRA Civil Rights Act to, you know, be served in a public place and not be discriminated against. He had a sign around his neck which said unhoused, which he wears wherever he goes. He's quite an active activist. They insisted he leaves, claiming they would arrest him for trespass. He stayed. He said he would not. And when the police came, he demanded the police, when they attempted to, they took a complaint from the owner who wanted him to leave. He insisted the police take his complaint for a false police report by the owner because he was not guilty of trespass, because he was, in fact, simply exercising his rights under the California Constitution.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, trying to stand up doggedly, often patiently, clearly and articulately with as many witnesses as you can is a very good idea.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and what I was saying before about Michael Seymour, the old guy in his van, one of us old guys, I should say,
yes,
is that he went to court yesterday on this other medical marijuana charge, the second time he's been charged having medical marijuana, and he found the charge hadn't even appeared in court. It had disappeared. They hadn't even done the courtesy of notifying him that his charge was not on the calendar.
Well, they don't tell you that stuff.
No. In fact, you have to call the day before. And
you were there at mine when they walked outside and said, is anybody here to testify against her?
Well, listen, Shannon, I want to hear more about your campaign if you, in fact, actually do end up filing papers. For those who want to be write-in candidates, you've got to go down to Leslie Cook, get a huge collection of papers, fill them out, and go back, and, you know, they will. I think she has to orient you for an hour. She's the city clerk.
I love orientations.
So you can get in there. In fact, if you want to get in with a bunch of other people who are doing it, they can orient them all at the same time.
Yeah.
We can get a variety of write-in candidates.
Let's do a big orientation.
So write on with the write-ins.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Shannon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, this is Free Radio, and your phone line is open. My phone line, your phone line, our phone line, 427-3772. I recently filed a complaint with the Sheriff's Department. I actually haven't filed a complaint with the Sheriff's Department in some time, but I ran into a problem in court that really infuriated me, and I felt I had to, document what happened in some way, so I did. What happened to me was I walked into court, and I think I've mentioned this on the air before, in the case of Clive Bustrade, who is a fellow who's actually spoken on this show. He talked about how police intervened in a custody dispute that he was in, came onto his property, and essentially arrested him for trying to take his child, his two children, to his garage after his wife had filed a false report, in his view. And he edged around the officers. They claimed that he hit them with the car. There was, by the account I saw, although I wasn't at the court, there was not clear evidence that that had happened. They accused him of not stopping when they wanted him to stop, even though there was no specific crime I'm aware of that they were really investigating. They were just doing the CPS check sort of thing. They could see the children, but they went after him instead. He'd just come from court where he'd filed papers to secure to stop the other partner from harassing him. He was convicted, I believe, of at least one felony and I think one misdemeanor. My recollection right now is not entirely clear, but it was at least one felony, and he was in jail as of a couple weeks ago. While I was there, I walked into court, and I had a tape recorder with me, which I often do when I go to court. You're not allowed to tape record in court without informing the court with a legal paper called a 980D form, which is a motion to a tape record for personal use. You're not allowed to broadcast it on the air if you file this form, but you are allowed to use it for your notes as a reporter or as a defendant or as an interested member of the public. And half the time it's granted. Usually in the past, it used to be a routine. They had to have a reason to deny you, but they've gotten prissy about me, and they don't want to do it. But on this, but they don't usually harass you for having a tape recorder. I mean, you're allowed to have a tape recorder, provided you don't make an illegal recording. It's illegal, you see, to record a legal proceeding, supposedly a public legal proceeding, without the permission of the court, even though these are supposed to be your courts, and you're paying for these judges, paying through the nose for these judges and their bailiffs and their metal detector machines at the entrance of the doors to make sure you don't storm in as a terrorist and attack them with a fingernail file and that sort of thing. You're paying for all this stuff. That's what's kind of a strange, bizarre, amusing aspect to it, and not so amusing in another way. Anyway, I came in with my tape recorder to Clive's trial, where he got pretty royally screwed, and I walked through the metal detector. There were, I think, four or five deputies there and various deputy officials kind of hanging around, and there was nobody there but me, and I went through the machine, making the usual commentary, as I often do when I go through these metal detectors, about what a fine waste of money this all is. And, of course, it doesn't endear me to them, but I think they're pretty much used to it. It's usually done for the benefit of other people there. And, in fact, on this occasion, I don't know that I said anything, because I usually don't say much unless there's an audience there, since the purpose of this is not to make the detectives or the police officers necessarily feel bad. I mean, for them, it's just a job. It is to model for the community how people should really respond to these impositions on your privacy and your dignity that are being increasingly invasive and, of course, are eating up a huge amount of money. And, of course, now put sent us to war in Iraq and, the terrorism. It's the drug war. It's the terrorism. It's all the stuff the politicians use to expand their power and their influence and to scare people so they can get reelected, or, in Kerry's case, elected. And they're both trying to out-fear each other, you know. But in any case, I went in with a tape recorder. And as I sat down there, I sat there for a few moments, and a female bailiff came over and said to me, "Mr. Norris," she didn't know me, I didn't know her, I was kind of surprised she addressed me by name, "do you have a tape recorder on you?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And this was in the middle of a jury trial. There was a jury seated, the witnesses were being talked about. She wasn't saying this in a loud fashion to disrupt the court, but she did address me quietly, and I said, "Yeah, what's the problem?" She said, "May I see it, please?" And I said, "Why?" And she made this issue, in essence, saying that, I said, "Okay, I'll show it to you." And I showed it to her, and then she said she wanted to confiscate it. Not because I was recording, she wasn't accusing me of a crime, but she just decided she'd better confiscate that tape recorder. Now, you might say, well, police have these bizarre notions, security, strange regulations. I've been to literally hundreds, if not perhaps at this time, to my disgrace, thousands of court appearances, really. Many, many court appearances. And almost invariably, I bring a tape recorder, and I record, a couple dozen of them, well, probably more. But I always do so legally, because it's a felony to do otherwise. I don't particularly want to be prosecuted for a felony. Never in a Santa Cruz courtroom have I been asked to surrender my tape recorder to a bailiff, ever. And this woman did so just casually, in a kind of a cursory manner, she just made her demand. And so I filed a complaint about this. I complained that she was, first of all, I asked, "How did you know my name? And why did you single me out? And are you going to ask everybody else coming in with a tape recorder, including news media, to surrender their tape recorders until such time as any motions they may or may not present are granted?" And she then told me, "Sit down or you'll be disturbing the court." I wasn't speaking loudly, but I was making this request of her off to the side. And I filed a complaint that I was, in essence, threatened and made to feel unwelcome, uncomfortable, and essentially stripped of some dignity in a courtroom where I was a member of the public and had a right to be, to view a public trial. And I put in this request. I requested the sergeant, her sergeant, call me back. He never did. I requested to know if there was a policy, a new policy that required everybody to surrender their tape recorders. I got no answer. And the only answer I got, the only thing I got with respect to this was a form that said, "You have to file a form to tape record," which, of course, I knew before I began. So I'm going to call back Sergeant Skillicorn, who's the guy who gave me this complaint response or non-response, marked confidential, by the way. And I'll be talking to him about that, or trying to, because he may not be the easiest person in the world to reach. And we'll see what comes of that. Well, why don't we hear a little more. Am I properly queued up? That's the question. Let's hear a little music, and then I think we're going to hear a little more of what's going on in the streets. Stay with us.
Okay, it's around 20 to 3. I'm at the Alfresco's having a Linda. Bite to eat with Linda. We're talking with
Brian.
And Brian, what's the word?
I got a ticket last night, and this morning a ranger showed up and said that we're not allowed to leave, that we're not allowed to sleep there, that we have to pick up everything and go.
Where was this?
Camp Paradise. And he said that he gave us tickets and said that we can't be back there and that it's private property and that da 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 da, and then decided to come back and take the tickets back out of the kindness of his heart, but we're never allowed to go back there again.
Huh. Now, what time did you get the tickets?
Around 11:30.
At night or?
Morning.
Morning. And how many were you?
There were five of us.
Gave out five tickets?
He only gave out three because two of them had just got there for one night, but he had already given us a previous warning.
Now, did he give you a place to go?
No.
Did he say there have been any complaints?
No.
And you got a ticket last night for lying down on a bench, right?
Yeah.
Over in front of Borders.
Yeah.
So, what's your plan? Are you going to prep sleep on top of the Mercury News building tonight, or?
That'd be nice. I thought I'd post out in front of the Bank of America ATMs.
Hey. Well, have you heard of anybody else getting camping tickets, Brian?
Everybody.
So, for example, how many other people specifically that you know have gotten tickets?
Everybody I know, about 30 of us, 30 other people.
Is this kind of happen like once a week or once
every? It happens every day.
And in terms of, let's say, how many tickets have you gotten for sleeping outside?
About five or six.
Out of how many times have you been sleeping? How many nights?
A couple months.
So most of the time they don't ticket you?
No, they just don't find me.
Right. You're pretty good at keeping a...
Yeah, every time they've caught us, though, that they've come up, they give us a ticket. It's bullshit.
Well, you know, there's a city council meeting on Tuesday.
On Tuesday night, you could always go at 7 o'clock and tell them your story.
Yeah, I could do that.
What you want to do is get a whole bunch of people with tickets to go to city council at 7 and say... Well, you could do that, too. They can... First of all, tell them you haven't been drinking or having the hiccups.
Yeah.
like some people I know. But... But the city council is meeting for the first time in 6 weeks. It's just coming back from vacation, so you might want to check it out. 7 o'clock, it's across from the main library.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Brian, and whatever you do, try to hold your liquor a little better.
Yeah, I'll try not to sleep, too.
And try not to sleep. That would be good.
All right.
So it's about 4:20. We're in front of the Del Mar Theater, and we're standing in front of a woman in an extended wheelchair. That says sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now that I have your attention, I'm homeless, not houseless, not homeless, disabled, not dysfunctional, stymied, not stupid, anything helps, God bless you. And there's a picture of a little home, and then numbers of no's. What's your name, Adam?
Mel, or Mom.
And Mel, You've been hanging out in front of the theater here. Right? What's going on? Are you observing anything of interesting in terms of movie-going activity?
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of resurgence in the interest of Donnie Darko. They've got the director's cut playing, and it seems to be quite popular.
What about the economic situation of folks on the street? Better, worse, or the same?
Pretty much about the same.
The weather is looking nice. It's sunny but cool.
Yeah, the weather's finally straightened out, and we've got our summer heat.
How's your sign? Is it earning you any kind of financial... is anybody offering you sex, drugs, or rock and roll?
No, usually they think that's what they can find here. You know, it's just a little... as the carnies would say, it's a hook to catch their attention.
Tagline?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Going for the marks, are you?
Well, yeah, you could put it that way. You could put it that way. Not that I ever was a carny, but I've had quite a few for friends, so.
You're not carny, and nor are you corny.
Oh, I've been known to be corny. I'm
a corny carny.
No, hardly. I am a farm girl, though. So I've had my share of corniness over the years.
Farm girl, is that some sort of a lewd reference? Are you trying to pick me up here?
No, just stating the facts, dear. I grew up on various and sundry farms in Western Washington.
You have stories about traveling salesmen?
No, they would be repeatable over the air.
Well, hey, this is free radio. Thank you, Mel.
The FCC would still have both of our behind.
The FCC has been trying to get our behind for 9 years without success. We give them the back of our behind and
we will
respond.
Wish them more unmitigated unsuccess.
Put it where the sun don't shine.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mel.
You have a great day, dear.
And now a bit of Wham Fest. This is actually some interviews with some folks there. This is Tim Rinker. We join him in progress. Some of this tape got erased, but some of it is of interest, and I'm going to play it now. This is the very sunny Sunday. Gosh, I guess it was last week. Fine Wham Fest. Really enjoyed it. It's too bad that the chorales and the other opinion makers in the medical marijuana field in Santa Cruz don't put the pressure on city council to really change our local laws so that most folks actually can have access to medical marijuana. I don't have to run up to Oakland, run down to the levee, go over to San Francisco, or otherwise seek out sources that are difficult to find or questionable or pay huge amounts, which they could do if there were a distribution center in town. But, of course, there isn't because of the Santa Cruz City zoning laws.
Thank you, Mike. If they don't have the sacred Wham card.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, most people stay pretty low. I mean, I personally haven't encountered anything. But
except tobacco smoke every so often.
I'd like to get away from this pipe.
Have a right to full participation in this society. And that goes.
So we hear Marty Wormhout speaking about full participation in this society. What is your reaction?
I try not to listen to Marty Wormhout too much.
Well, why not? She's supporting Wham here. She's talking about the importance of guidelines.
That's a good thing, and I think there should be guidelines. I think they should be a lot more liberal than she does. She's going with 3 pounds. I think it should be at 6. Especially if somebody's in pain, they're going to be smoking a lot. And, you know, they're going to be doing a joint an hour. If you've got serious pain. And 3 pounds just isn't enough.
Well, there were some local activists, including Andrea Tischler, I assume the Corrales, maybe Anita Henry, who got together with the supervisor in closed chambers and tried to get and actually kind of accepted this. Hey, big girl. She's mine. Mom,
well, if people want to talk out at the Board of Supervisors, they're going to be considering it on October 5th, so the people can come to the Board of Supervisors meeting.
Well, I suspect that smoking out at the Board of Supervisors would make more sense than talking out. I frankly think that they have a closed system here that will pay no attention unless masses of people indicate that they're not going to tolerate this kind of horseshit.
Yeah.
Not that it's about to happen, mind you.
Yeah. Well, do what we can, and 3 pounds is still better than better than nothing, but...
Actually, you don't got nothing. You got, I guess, what is it, 99 square feet, and the state standard is much lower. But, yeah.
I believe Alaska also has an initiative on the November ballot for full legalization, so...
Which it actually had before in 1975.
Yeah. So we could get some real movement here this year. Also, Montana, they're trying to get a medical marijuana initiative on the ballot right now. Yeah, you know, it's moving forward in spite of the politicians, more so than because of them.
You mean Democratic Party hacks like Marty Wormhout? Are you criticizing her?
Well, you know, the people led and the politicians followed. That's how it was. You know, the reason medical marijuana happened in this town is because of the activists. It wasn't the politicians. It wasn't because of Marty Wormhout. Sure, ultimately they eventually voted on something.
Take credit for it.
Yeah, when it was safe to do so. When there was a majority of voters voting on it.
Well, there was a majority of voters in 1992, wasn't there, when it passed. These gutless people wouldn't put it on their agenda, nor would Mayor Marty Wormhout do diddly squat about it either, as I remember.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, she was busy arresting homeless people for feeding other people, as I recall.
Uh-huh.
And something she has never repudiated, by the way.
And the same type of thing. The people led, and eventually the politicians got dragged along.
A community activist drinker, you know. If you don't watch out, you start doing your crazy chalking activity. I understand you're one of the criminal chalkers that actually had to serve, not serve time, but pay a fine. Isn't that accurate?
I haven't been playing hopscotch lately, but I have noticed other people taking up the
cudgels, so to speak.
Taking up the chalk.
Taking up the sidewalk chalk sold at Palace Arts Stationery across the street from O'Neill's.
I don't suppose you've got any of that glow-in-the-dark chalk yet.
I have no chalk whatsoever with me. I have to admit to my chagrin.
I really wanted to try that sometime. They glow in the dark chalk down at Palace Arts, but it's expensive. It's like $2 a stick, and for $4 for two sticks.
Are you suggesting you would again violate the codes of our city by writing some peace stuff or some pro-homeless trash on the sidewalk?
Well, you never know.
You never know. Officers, keep an eye on this man. Thank you, Tim Rinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Robert.
You were saying?
Oh, yeah, the beer run people are still chalking, I know.
Who are the beer run people?
Well, you know, they put arrows and stuff. It's like a game. They run from bar to bar with directions chalked on the sidewalk.
Downtown Pacific Avenue?
Well, there's one. I noticed a direction outside the Barossa Grill. And, you know, you see, like, see an arrow with, like, 1 to 3 lines through it. I mean, it's like some code or something, like, go 3 blocks that way.
It's a hobo code, as in the 30s.
Well, it's like this thing that they do, and the idea is to go from bar to bar getting drinks and while following the chalk marks on the sidewalk. They had an article in there. Paper, not, you know, some time ago.
Cheeky.
Yeah.
At the board and dunk her.
Oh. Who do we get to dunk?
45. We got 145.
This is to dunk Valerie or to dunk Marty? Maybe they should sit in each other's lap. What do you think?
50.
No comments. Hey.
45.
We're here at the table of Jason. A new table, I might add, longer, stronger, better looking. And Jason, you have a report on an actual culprit who's been picked up by the police?
Yeah, you know, and there was an incident here with Officer Bratz, and those officers were a skinhead, you know, said, let's kick this nigger's ass at my table here. And I tried to ask him to have him arrested then. Well, he came in the other night. I was at the bus stop and started screaming out, go back to Africa, you nigger. A bunch of people were standing there at the bus stop with me. He started hurling stones. He's like, I'm going to stone you like a fucking Jew, you fucking nigger, and this and that. I was like, get the fuck out of here. And I picked backed up my table. I had to use it as a shield, you know.
Was he alone or in company?
He was alone, man, you know. He kept throwing these rocks. Yeah, I do. Hello.
And it's about 7 o'clock on Sunday evening.
A comment about that report from Jason Pascal, the African-American spiritual reader downtown. You may know him. He's often in front of the, what it was, the Cooper House. And he's he called in with some consternation a couple of days ago, noting, I think it was yesterday actually, that the DA had declined to file charges against the man shouting nigger at him and threatening him and throwing rocks at him. So he previously noted that Officer Brandt had failed to take a police report that he'd requested Brandt take when the same individual came up and smashed his table after having previously threatened him. And this, I guess, is news in Santa Cruz, but only if you happen to hear it on the street or if I happen to find the tape in time to play it for this show, which can happen who knows how many weeks later. This interview, I believe you're hearing here, was 3 or 4 days ago. And Jason's report about no DA prosecution was, I believe, yesterday or the day before.
December 5th, Jason has been called away to speak to a patron, but he reveals that the individual he was talking about is now in jail. At least that's his information, and we'll try to get more information on that later. And we have a safe strummer who's strumming away here in front of Uptown Jeans. It's Swing Time Susie.
Yeah, Roy, on your friend Robert North. Well, how in the world do you know? By the protest that he's saying in the clothes that he wore. Well, microphone is his hand. And, yeah, he's going to get in trouble. But you better not complain, man. Because he's prison bound. But that midnight special.
We're talking to Phoenix, who's having a little trouble tuning her guitar because of the heat and the humidity. I should say her harpish-looking guitar. It's a strange-looking guitar you have there.
Got 22 strings.
So I'm going to let you play a little for these folks since they're here, and then after that I'll talk to you. So you say you really enjoy it here as compared with a year ago?
Oh, yeah. Like, last year they were arresting me constantly, threatening to throw me in jail, threw my boyfriend in jail for selling jewelry that he made out here. And, like, they were just constantly, every time I'd sit down, they'd harass me. Now, this year, I haven't had one problem since I came back in February.
That's impressive. I know you sang a song about it at the street night out.
Yeah.
Did you sing you want to do that? Have you got that song memorized? Is it possible to hear that again?
Give me about 5 more minutes to tune this thing, and it's hot and humid, and it doesn't keep in tune very well.
Okay, we'll come back. We're with QZ, who just came back from Berkeley. You got a report, QZ.
The police are giving tickets out to the homeless who are for storming property at the park.
And you heard about this from the folks, saw a couple tickets, suddenly nobody's storing property in the park. What's the deal?
Oh, I saw it happen. The police officer just walks up to a person, you know, like, staying there at the park. Mm-hmm. And they give
People's
him
Park.
People's Park. And they just give him a ticket for storing. Like, if you have a blanket, you know, and you get your camping equipment there, they give you a ticket for storing property on the park.
Did they confiscate the property as well?
No, just a ticket.
Well, I guess still doesn't sound very good to me. How many tickets have you heard any reports about the number they've given out?
Well, I just saw one person get one.
Well, you, of course, jumped in front of the police officer and said, "Hold, varlet," right?
No,
not exactly. Actually, I didn't expect you to. All right. Well, thank you for the update. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Well, we're talking to Orly Jones and...
Jasmine Jones.
And you are the missing fourth person of this this family, the fourth younger person, right?
Yes.
Now, are you glad to be back, or is this guy a scoundrel? What's the story?
I really want to be coming back.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Just for this weekend.
And I think we're going to have to take the picture of the two of you together. This is a nice moment. You mind if I take a picture?
Sure.
Okay with you, Orla?
Oh, that's fine with me.
I normally don't ask permission. I just ask forgiveness, but I'll try it. So, Orla, about a year and a half ago almost, well, you know, that long ago, you were separated from your four children by CPS after a claim that medical marijuana was being smoked in front of the children in a trailer that you were staying in when you came out, after coming out from Kentucky, when you had perfectly legal documentation for all that and there was nothing wrong with what you were doing. Three of the children were able to be returned, 6 months to a year later? And finally, here's Jasmine again. Hi, Jasmine.
Well, you know, I was accused of smoking in front of a man, but I don't smoke in front of them. I always take it elsewhere and smoke it, you know, because I try to teach them, you know, that drugs is not a good thing for anyone. You know, it's just I have to do it to keep my sight.
Except for that damn nicotine thing you're smoking right there, which is worse than marijuana.
Sure it is. But the government will freely sell that to me. they could care less about my health and that factors. But they sold my kids on account of it, you know, and I'm not a happy person. I even found out that they gave my medical records out to people, you know, and...
You were talking about suing the CPS or the courts or something?
I'm going to try, you know, if I can find a lawyer to take the case. I'm sure I can. They released all kinds of information to the foster parents that wasn't supposed to happen. I forgot the papers. They sent them back to me accidentally, you know, and that's their fault. Yeah.
Very nice. Keep a record. Well, let me ask you, Jasmine, how did it feel being away for a year? Was it okay? Was it difficult? Was it so-so?
It was difficult.
And you were in a number of different families, or?
I was in one before, and now I'm in another.
And how did the two compare?
Not very good. Some of them are very strict.
And are you looking forward to coming back to Orly and Stacy?
Yes, I am.
And what do they tell you about your prospects of coming back? Are you going to have to wait a long time or a short time? Or
maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
And what do they say has been the reason for the delay? I mean, have you been asking about coming back before this?
Yeah.
And what have they told you when you've asked?
They say they'll try to do their best, but then they go into court and they say that I kick and scream until they say, okay, you don't have to go to the visit.
So, there was a concern at one point that you didn't want to go back, or was that not the case?
There was a point that I didn't want to go back because... that I was just afraid that Stacy was going to hurt me.
And you're reassured now?
Yeah.
You've seen her and talked to her?
Yeah, I've been with my daddy for the weekend, and I really like it.
Well, I can appreciate that. Maybe you can adopt me, too, and take me around and be nice to me for a while. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
And anything you want to say, Early?
Well, you just might want to... make sure that you're that she says that you're not twisting her arm to talk in this tape recorder, because I was told that I couldn't tape them, you know, that was mentally disturbing my children for me to tape them. But I've taped them previous in the previous years all through their life, you know, with camcorders, tape recorders, and everything else, because I love my kids, you know. But when I tried to do it to show that my children was being abused in foster care, they ordered me not to do so. But I had already had everything on tape that I wanted, so it didn't really matter. You know, I plan to use that in the civil court too.
Do you feel you were mistreated in any way in foster care?
Some of the times, yes.
And what kind of mistreatment would you say that was?
Strict. Being locked in the room.
And how old are you?
9.
And what sorts of things were you locked in your room for?
I can't remember any of the things I was locked in my room for.
Or you didn't like it?
I didn't like it at all.
And how have you been treated in the last month or two? Has that happened again, or is it...
It hasn't.
Was that with the first family you were with, or the second, or both?
It was with the first and second.
And has this guy been locking you in your room?
No.
Maybe you can lock him in his room. Thank you both, and congratulations on getting back together. Hope that you can actually make it more permanent if that's what you want.
I would like to say one more thing. If there's any attorneys that hear this that might be interested in taking a case against CPS, call me at 335-5297.
There you are. Thank you. Thanks, Jasmine.
And that's it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Come back again on Sunday, and stay tuned now for Dennis's From the Cream to the Dregs. Uncle Dennis will lead you forward. If you want to catch me, 423-HUFF is a number to call, and check me out there. If you got any reports of a sleeping ban or other cases of police abuse, or you just want to get in touch, perhaps to be on the show. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides.
A simple militant, they're pretty eyes to fight. Inside they confide, but they still don't have the time to find what's behind. Many faces has a man. They write him many plans, but they still don't understand. Inside this band is a history band. Though we choose not to see it, it's inside the grand plan. Prolific seeding leads to inbreeding clones. How far the truth was thrown, the lies we condone. Sitting on the phone, holding bones out of phones, playing other spades with not even a groan. It's chaos, Papa Show. The animal seems to be blown. But what we know is what we own. Overshown them to the bone. And shock there was not for the boxes flawed. Consumption and destruction has become the new god. And souls are flying everywhere. We try to fight against the button truths, we don't care, yeah. The passing revolution is here to change our future. Listen up, kids, don't scream and shout. It's here to fill our minds with doubt. And souls are flying everywhere. We try to fight it, but we just don't care. It's getting old, so comfortable. Living in this luxury. And off in a not too distant place, souls are dying for me. And our luxury in our SUV. Oh, in the species as it stands, reprimand man fans, so regrouping clans divide up a stand. The reptile eye stands high on the great divide. We're of the same species, but we gotta pick our sides. So give me a reason why I should even try. Have you ever seen a bird cry? And along these dusty streets, there's an aching in my feet. Such a beat down feet to reclaim what I eat. And the street, people are so hard to greet. Give me a list of your motives and explanations of how you choose to spend your time. Perception is obsolete in this uniform time. It's such a crime to find ourselves for. It blows away the lines they try to draw around us. And they're gonna drop the dying frown. Come the right time now. Come the right time now. Raise your fist in anger, oh, or bomb another country. And give you vital reason to believe it wasn't conceived in greed. It's the conspiracy theory in my spirit, not knowing what to believe anymore. I'm bitter, crooked in soul, cause my politicians is acting like whores. I'm just trying to find my way. Somebody told me yesterday how it pays to be a slave. But he was just depraved, running from his grave. Yeah. Can we find some harmony? Get rid of all this misery. Sitting on the minds of those who tell us how we ought to be. The passing revolution is here to change our future. Listen up, kids, don't scream and shout. It's here to fill our minds with doubt. And souls are flying everywhere.
tides have carried off the beach.